alcohol abuse, and many other sins. Sin begets sin. And this fellow was trapped in many different sins and different sin areas. And he, can you cut off the volume on that, Mark, please, so that it's not amplified? And a lot of this was hidden. A lot of folks didn't, that he knew closely, didn't know about these sins. And I had the great privilege of being able to meet with him and speak with him and help him. And now he's completely transformed. He's a different man. And it's been several years, and it's been such a thrill for me to see the progress in his life. And so much so that now he's planning to take a missions trip this January, which just thrills my soul to see how this man had been transformed. That's just one vivid example. And there's been many folks I've had the privilege to work with over the years that, and I know you've seen it too, and many of you have worked with people too that have seen folks, you know, brought out of darkness and into the light and released from the grip of sin in their life. And all of us here are continuing to be released from the grip of sin. But how does this happen? How does this work? Is it just, you know, happenstance? Is there any method to this? Does God use any methodology in this? Well, I think 2 Corinthians 3:18, if we could turn there. And like I said, get ready, because we're going to be flying through many different scriptures, as you're going to see. How does this happen? 2 Corinthians 3:18, and this is kind of the overall thrust of this whole study, this verse. It lays the groundwork for the things that are to come. And Paul says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. And here it is. And are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we who are in Christ, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, with ever increasing glory. So the Spirit of God starts us off and works in our life and transforms us in one area, and then, well, are we done? Well, no, not really. We're kind of just at the beginning stages, because then the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes to something else and reveals something else to us, and hopefully we're transformed in that area, and then another area, and then another area, and this just keeps on going from one stage of glory to another. We're being transformed from one stage to another into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, when does this end? When does this stop? Face to face, or he returns, or we go to be with him. The Lord's doing his transforming work in our life from one stage of glory to another. So whether you're one day in the Lord, as we're going to see as we progress through this study, or whether you're 30 years in the Lord, we're continuing to be transformed into the likeness of the Lord. And so the next several weeks, including today, but the next couple of weeks following this, we're going to be focusing during the Sunday school time and afterwards on God's transforming work in our lives through what we call the cycle of renewal. The cycle of renewal, which is how God works in our life. And I'm going to lay out this cycle right now, and then we're going to dissect it as we go forward. But how does this cycle of renewal begin? Well, it starts with justification, which is a lot of what we talked about today in terms of what the Lord's work was on the cross. His justification then opens the way and produces something in us. So again, as we're going to see, this is what was done for us, and this opens the way for what God then wants to do in us through regeneration. And then when we're regenerated, our eyes are opened up and we're able to receive revelation. And this isn't the book of Revelation, this is the light that God brings to our eyes, which we cannot understand unless this takes place. And then so we get this revelation, which then, as the Spirit of God opens up our eyes, should produce repentance in our life. And repentance should produce restitution. And then the restitution is evidence that there has been renewal. And then where do we go from there? We're done? Well, no. See, then the cycle starts again. And then the Lord opens up our eyes again to some other aspect of our life and brings new revelation. So none of us have done. None of us have done. I've been walking with the Lord for, as I mentioned, over 30 years. And believe me, I'm not done. So, the studies that we're going to embark on are based from the Bible. They're based on the Word of God. The Word of God is essential in this whole process. Let's take a little tour and just see how powerful the Word of God is. I know you folks are a Word congregation. I know you guys know the Word. Let's look at the Scriptures and just see how important the Word of God is, and just have it reinforced in our heart and in our life. Let's look at these verses. Let's start in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You know what? I'd really appreciate if you guys, if somebody gets to the verse, if you could just read it out loud so you could participate too. Hebrews 4, verse 12. And let's see the importance of the Word of God. Somebody please. Amen. Praise be to God. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. A great little verse tucked into Jeremiah, which I love. Jeremiah chapter 23 And verse 29. Here's how important the Word of God is. Somebody read that, please. Wow. Wow. What a verse this is. What encouragement this is. What power is right here in our hands. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. That's how powerful that the word of God is. Notice, okay, the answers, where are the answers that we need? The answers that we need for healing, for the healing of our souls, it's in the word. It's not in the philosophy of the world. It's in the word. That's where the power is, as the Holy Spirit brings this and applies it to our life. I'm just amazed, sadly, and I'm not, this is just an observation. It isn't a judgment on any one individual. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed this day how little Christians use their Bible. I'm amazed at how little Christians even have their Bible. I observed these things from years ago when we were taught, 30 years ago. I knew the Word of God, everywhere we went, we had the Word of God with us, always ready to open up the Word of God. It was just the sword that was just available to us. We cherished it. But I'm just amazed, even at the generation that's being brought up, how little that the Word of God is referred to. Sadly, I'm amazed at that. And just observe yourselves and see where our Christian culture, where our society is drifting to. Where are they drifting to? And to me, they're drifting away from the Word of God. And another thing that I've observed in our Christian circles is many people today, I don't think I can even say just in the younger circles, it just seems that many today are always looking, they seem to be looking for the mystical side of God. And that's, I'm not belittling, that's a great thing that we need to open ourselves up to, the mystical side of God, the things that, maybe aren't so clear that we look to the Lord to open up our eyes to some things that are hidden. And that's all wonderful, but not to the neglect of the things that are clearly revealed. Some people are out searching and looking for answers, but not opening up their Bible and starting there and getting the answers there. Yes, there's this mystical, obviously spiritual element of our faith, absolutely, but not to the neglect of the things that are clearly revealed in the Word. Let's turn to Psalm 19. Verses 7 to 11. Somebody read that, please. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. Don't you just love the Word of God? Don't you just love the Word? it gives light. The Word of God gives light to the eyes. The Word of God is sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey from the palm. You can imagine how the psalmist just cherished, how David just cherished the Word of God. You can just see it by these verses. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. How we need God's Word. Psalm 119. Let me read these through Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Look at the passion. Look at the passion that the psalmist had for the Word. How can a young man, Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your Word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Verses 101 to 105. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Do you cherish the Word of God? Do you cherish it like the psalmist cherishes the Word of God? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's a challenge for us. Verse 15, if someone can read that. 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, it's work to know the Word of God. It's a joyous work. I love the Word of God. I love having verses in my heart that the Lord has written on my heart. But you know, it's work. It's work. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman. A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I feel like in my own life that the more that I can allow the Lord to write his word on my heart and in my mind, the more that I'm familiar with the Word of God, the more verses that I kind of have at my disposal, it makes me a more useful workman for the Lord and allows the Holy Spirit more opportunities to use me along the way. I want to be like a carpenter, you know, that has all the tools on my belt. I mean, you don't want to be, a carpenter and you just have a hammer and a chisel and nothing else. But you ever see a skilled carpenter when he's got all the tools, when he's got all the right tools, and how unbelievable things I could never do, and just how skilled that he is when he uses the right tools in a situation and just make something look incredible. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us. He wants to use us like skilled workmen. And so the more verses that you have in your heart, the more saturated you can, your mind can be for the Word of God, it just gives you the Holy Spirit more, to work with in different situations. I'm just amazed. I'm sure these things have happened to you, being in situations or working with people. And even verses maybe that I only remember scanning or, you know, just going over, and not really that I memorized these things to heart. But all of a sudden, in the midst of a situation where the Lord will bring this to mind, will bring this verse to mind, and just be able to use it. It's like, wow, it's definitely it's a spiritual thing, but just being familiar with the Word gives the Spirit of God that opportunity to work in my own life, in my own heart, but then also to be hopefully useful for the Lord to help other people in situations that need help. See, the devil, he has no power over us. He's been defeated. So he uses the tool of deception. He wants to deceive us. He wants to tell us lies. And so we need to overcome him in his lies and him trying to lure us away by the truth of the Word of God. So I'm not going to apologize, in other words, for hammering this home to help us to solidify right up front that this whole process is based upon the Word of God and how important the Word of God is in this cycle of renewal in our own life and in the life of other people, and we're trying to help other people. So let's kind of set the purpose. With that as kind of being a backdrop, what are we doing here? What's the purpose of this as we kind of go through this cycle? Here's what I see is the purpose, is that we ourselves will be transformed with wherever we are, whether we're a new believer or we've been working with the Lord for 30 years, but that as we go through this, we open ourselves up to the Word, to the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit work in us, to transform us, so then that we might be better equipped and then be able to better help others. But let's not allow this to just be going through some lessons or going through some training, because we're thinking like, oh, well, you know, we can take this and go help this guy, that guy. That's great. We want to be able to do that, to be a worker in that regard. But let's not miss the opportunity for, as we work through this, as we work through revelation and repentance and restitution, that there's going to be areas in our life that the Spirit of God is going to bring to light that we need to act on and that we need to work on before we go and try to help hurting and broken people. But hurting and broken people should not have to go outside and seek some giant outside of the congregation. There's a very encouraging word that was written to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 15. Let's turn there and be encouraged by this. You know, many times in churches, speaking generally, when there's folks that need help, when there's folks that need counsel, they want to like send them out to some professionals somewhere. But look at what Paul said to the church at Rome. Chapter 15, verse 14, he says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, incompetent to what? Instruct one another. How encouraging that is. And that, you know, there's hope for me, you know, there's hope for us, that the Lord wants to use us to help the folks right around us that might be hurting and broken and battered. But these things are very challenging, and I don't know if you folks have had the opportunity to read Harold's book, Bringing Christ Back. I've been trying to pour through that for like a couple of years and just trying to let it all sink in deeply into my soul. Like, some truths I think you can kind of understand basically, but you kind of have to grow into them over many years of walking with the Lord. And some of these truths that Harold writes on and Bringing Christ Back are some of those truths that you have to just kind of dwell on and kind of live through an experience to really understand it deep in the soul. But as only Harold can do, he says this on page 2 of his book that just challenges my soul. Here's Harold's quote: "Are you, then am I, what Christ died and rose to produce?" Ouch, you know, what a challenge. What a challenge to me. And are you, and am I, what Christ died and rose to produce? Lord, you know, I need help. But that's what we're here for. And hopefully as we, you know, begin to work through this, that, you know, the Lord will work in us and produce some additional things that we need to be more of everything that the Lord wants us to be in our life. And again, to be a better instrument, a more effective instrument for helping others. I'm going to kind of stop right here at this point and kind of break for lunch. I know you guys usually do that around 12. It's just a good breaking point for me before we actually get into the first topic of justification. But I think it's just a good breaking point right now. So however you want to handle this break. Yeah, I think what I want to do is to really lay a foundation for this cycle of revelation, repentance, restitution, and renewal. But before we can get here, as I mentioned at the introduction, we have to really understand justification and regeneration. And justification is, as we're going to see, everything that God has done for us. What has God done for us? And then regeneration is the work that God then does and then continues to do in us. And I mean, that's really the gist of what I'd like to lay down firmly. And these things are probably going to be somewhat of a review, but I think some of it might be challenging and some of it might be refreshing. Some of it might be eye-opening in terms of this whole understanding of justification and regeneration, but it really does lay the groundwork for launching off into the next couple of weeks. You know, comments, anything that I said or we went over, any comments, any thoughts, anything come to light, anything come to mind? I mean, is it just me, or I mean, do you guys see kind of a trend that it just seems like that the word is kind of getting, it's kind of sliding out of the picture. It's kind of like observations I've made. I'm not just talking about like being here. Just I've had opportunities to be in like many other places. It just seems like that's the case, and that's just a slippery slope to go down. Use the word. It's a tool. You know, it penetrates. The word of God penetrates even to dividing soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And even meeting with people, even unbelievers that don't have any context of the word of God, it doesn't matter. You use it anyway. In other words, you use it, and it cuts, and it brings conviction, and it brings light. It doesn't make a difference whether they believe it or not, because that's what the word of God does. It cuts and it penetrates, it convicts, and brings correction, training in righteousness when we use the word. This is all seeming familiar. Praise be to God. It's okay. Paul said it's no problem for me to remind you of these things. I think Peter said that. It's okay. Remind you of these things over and over again. Oh yeah, I'll be bringing it up more and more. But like I say, guys, this is introductory foundation laying. Hopefully we can begin the process and start to build. We're going to tie that all in. Absolutely. You can't go here. You can't go here without this. It's impossible. It's impossible. The man without the Spirit doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. He cannot understand the things of the Spirit. So we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. In order for that to happen, there has to be justification, which opens the way for regeneration. Then we can begin receiving revelation. Yeah, we've got to tie that all in.